The spirit is the life. The breath goes forth from man, and he dies, and he goes into the grave, and he sleeps there, in a manner of speaking. It's only sleep in a manner of speaking, because death is only like sleep in that you are unconscious of what's going on. That's why it's likened to death, and that's instinctively. When you look at a dead animal, you know what death is like. It is only through man's wishful thinking and man's desire to immortalize himself that he starts thinking of his soul as being immortal. And what an arrogant and foolish lie. As it says in 1 Timothy 6:16, God only has immortality and he gives it to who he wills. I added that last part. But God only has immortality. And whom he wills, he causes to inherit an eternal life. And whom he wills, he causes to perish. That is God's way. Verse 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, saying, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. This is the end of question time. You know, not everyone here is hostile, you know? Here's a scribe, he comes forth, and he asks a sincere question. Not that he doesn't know what the greatest commandment is, but he's asking him to see how he'll answer. Sometimes we dwell on the most elementary things, because the elementary questions are not as elementary as they might seem, because they're easier on the surface than they are to actually perform. To love God with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your soul, can be more complicated than you realize. Because people say, I love God. And then I say, well, who is God? What is this God that you love? As James said in his epistle, how can you love God who you've never seen when you can't love your brother who's right in front of you? It's a paraphrase. The elementary questions can actually be much more complicated. I remember one atheist looked at this, and then he mocked the Ten Commandments, saying, "What's the point of having all this?" As Jesus said, it can be summed up in two things. And as a man of intelligence, he thinks, that's it. That's all you need. Why have all that extra law? Love your neighbor as yourself. What do you need to know more than that? Well, people are not always so bright. They're not always understanding the full implications of everything. These things don't come to man by nature. Not by our own nature. Maybe by the new nature which is given us in Christ under the new covenant, we can obtain these things without effort. But for man, as they existed in the time of Christ in the Old Covenant, meditating on these things was the best way to begin to take hold of the righteousness which God dictates. Love your neighbor as yourself. The verse that comes from in the Old Testament is not from the Ten Commandments. But the commandments are summed up in that verse, or some of the commandments are. Thou shalt not steal. Well, you don't want to be stolen from. It's a commandment of conscience. And therefore, it requires us to have an intimate understanding of our conscience. Because not all people are well acquainted with their conscience. People say, he has no conscience, and so on and so forth. What it is they don't listen to their conscience. Or they have so seared their conscience, as it is written of by Paul, with a hot iron, meaning their conscience has become insensitive. And that's what happens to people from a very young age. They begin to become desensitized to the things their conscience would tell them, the things in their heart that they know are wrong. And men do murder to other men, knowing
that they don't want to be murdered.
Verse 18 of Leviticus 19 says, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." The previous verse, though, I like because it gives you an aspect that people don't often consider about how do you love your neighbor. Verse 17 says, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin on him." It is to love your neighbor to rebuke him from sinning. Think about it. Rebuking your neighbor is to love your neighbor. To suffer him to sin is to hate him. Not everyone would think that. I know people criticize me for criticizing my former teacher, Dr. Arnold Murray, because I criticize him. And I say, this is heresy. And they say, you hate him. You come down so hard on him. You're always slamming him. And I say, if I were to keep silence, it would only prove that I hate him. Because I say nothing. And it would also prove that I hate you. Because I would allow you to follow heresy. And I know the truth. And I said nothing. I did nothing. So I'm constrained by the love of God and by the love of my neighbors to speak the truth according as God has revealed it to me, because that's the only truth I can speak. And if I be a deceiver, God has suffered me to be a deceiver. But I tell you, I'm given to this. I'm given to as God has given me. I am so given to the truth that he has taught me. People say, Paul, you think you know it all? I don't know it all. But I do endeavor to purge out all the old leaven. I do endeavor to purge out false doctrine. I can't know it all. That's ridiculous. All one has to do is read what I wrote about the nature of God and realize Paul doesn't think he knows it all. He's just an ignorant person, groping in the dark, but carefully and systematically trying to understand. And having the Spirit of God, I gain understanding. And so ought we all seek the understanding of God. Because if you don't understand God, your love towards him is empty. I say, I love all the little children. You know, it doesn't really have a lot of meaning until you're actually confronted with a child that you ought to love. Until you're confronted with a God that is difficult to understand. A God that you cannot fathom why he does this, why he does that. And all you do is you say he's good and you remind yourself of that and then you deny all his works. You're not loving him with all your understanding. You're just loving him with your ignorance. To love God with the understanding. It's not possible for all men. Because some men